If you'll please take your Bibles and turn with me at this time, we are in the Gospel of Matthew in chapter 11. Matthew 11, verses 1 through 19. Our message series is called Mission and Conflict, and we are seeing how these two themes play out together in Matthew chapters 10 through 12. We completed Matthew chapter 10 in the past weeks. In Matthew chapter 10, we saw that Jesus gave his disciples instructions about mission, and he warned them about the conflict and the opposition that they would face going forth with the gospel. Now, as we begin Matthew chapter 11, Jesus is going to speak at length about John the Baptist. And you might wonder, well, why does he do that? Well, because he's going to be using John the Baptist as an example of a messenger who remained faithful to Christ with the message of Christ despite opposition. You'll notice we don't have the verses on the screen today. I know a number of you are used to that. I was not able to put together the slides for the sermon this week like we usually do. So I encourage everyone to have your Bibles open to Matthew chapter 11 so you can follow along in the verses with us as we go through the message. But for right now, as we get started, I'm just going to read verses 11 through 15 to get us started in the message. Will you please stand with me for the reading of God's Word? Matthew chapter 11, beginning at verse 11. These are the words of Jesus. I tell you the truth. Among those born of women, there has not risen anyone greater than John the Baptist. Yet he who is least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than he. From the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of heaven has been forcefully advancing, and forceful men lay hold of it. For all the prophets and the law prophesied until John. And if you are willing to accept it, he is the Elijah who was to come. He who has ears to hear, let him hear. This is the word of God. Let us pray. Well, dear Lord, as we look at these verses, speaking of John the Baptist, Lord, as much as we want to learn about John today, even more so, we want to learn what your word has for us. And so, God, I pray that you would speak through this word, through John's life, through these words recorded about him, spoken by our Lord Jesus. Speak through that into our lives and show us how we need to be different today as a result. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. Please be seated. Are you a faithful messenger for Jesus Christ? Are you faithful in sharing the good news of Jesus with other people, even when it's difficult? Even when perhaps other people might fight back? Today we're going to be talking about John the Baptist. And John the Baptist is an example of a faithful messenger for Christ despite opposition. And as we'll see as we go through these verses, we also are called to be faithful messengers for Christ. Today's passage breaks down into three sections. There's an outline in your bulletin if you'd like to take that out to follow along and the various sections and perhaps to jot down some notes. But we're going to be looking at lessons from John's imprisonment, and then secondly, lessons from John's ministry, and then thirdly, lessons from John's audience. And all of these lessons apply to us and how we are to apply these verses in our own lives. So let's begin now, and we're going to look at John the Baptist. What does it mean to be a faithful messenger? First of all, what can we learn about being a faithful messenger from John's imprisonment? And there's two very important lessons we can learn here. Number one, very simple lesson, but a very difficult one for us to get hold of, is we should all be prepared to suffer for Christ. We need to be prepared to suffer for Christ. We're in Matthew chapter 11, verses 1 and 2, if you'll look in your Bibles at that. After Jesus had finished instructing his 12 disciples, he went on from there to teach and preach in the towns of Galilee. When John heard in prison what Christ was doing, he sent his disciples. Now, you notice that Matthew actually refers to Jesus as the Christ or Messiah here. Matthew doesn't do that a whole lot in his gospel. He lets us figure that out from the various verses which point to Christ as Messiah. But here he just spells it right out that John had heard what Christ was doing. And it's a little ironic. Matthew knows what he's doing here, because we'll see in just a moment, this is precisely the issue that is bothering John. John is wondering, is Jesus actually the Christ? Is he the Christ who was to come? Or should we be expecting someone else? We'll get there in just a moment. But in the meantime, what's going on? John's in prison. He's suffering in prison. He was a faithful messenger for Christ, and what did it get him? He ended up in prison. We first learned that John was put in prison back in Matthew chapter 4. We'll learn more details about his time in prison when we get to chapter 14. But the point here is that John was suffering in prison because he had been a faithful messenger for Christ. And we also need to be prepared to suffer for Christ. Our message series is called what? Mission and Conflict. Because as we've seen already, anytime you go forth on mission for Christ, you can expect conflict. The Apostle Paul wrote this to Timothy in 2 Timothy chapter 3. He said, Timothy, in fact, everyone who wants to live a godly life in Christ Jesus will be persecuted, while evil men and imposters will go from bad to worse, deceiving and being deceived. What did Paul say to Timothy? Everyone who wants to live a godly life for Jesus will be persecuted. Paul was no stranger to persecution. He was a faithful messenger also, and he was persecuted because of that. And he tells us as Christians, when you choose to live a godly life for Jesus Christ, you can expect persecution also. So that's our first lesson this morning, and our first question: are you willing to suffer for Christ? Would you be willing to go to prison for Jesus Christ? And you know, for many people around the world, for many of our fellow believers around the world, these are not hypothetical questions, are they? These are real-life questions that they must answer every single day of their lives. But that's our first lesson we learned from John's imprisonment. Be prepared to suffer for Christ, because when you are a faithful messenger for Christ, you can expect to suffer for it. The second lesson we learn from John's imprisonment has to do with doubts. Doubts. And the lesson here is that you should look to God's word whenever you may experience doubts. Look to God's word when you experience doubts. And we find this lesson now in the next verses of Matthew 11, verses 3, 4, and 5. John's in prison. He hears that all that Christ is doing, and he sends his disciples to ask him, are you the one who was to come? Or should we expect someone else? This is John the Baptist asking this, folks. Are you the one who was to come? John had already told everybody this is the one who was to come. But now he's in prison, and something's going on. He's saying, are you the one who was to come? Or should we be waiting around for somebody else? What's going on here? Jesus replied to the messengers, go back and report to John what you hear and see. The blind receive sight. The lame walk. Those who have leprosy are cured. The deaf hear. The dead are raised. And the good news is preached to the poor. Now you might be wondering, John the Baptist, how can you be doubting? How can you be questioning? Well, there are a number of reasons why John might have had questions at this point in his life. For one thing, he was in prison. Not because he did anything bad, because he was doing something good. He was sharing faithfully about Christ. And he ended up in prison as a result. Well, that could be one reason why John was having some questions. John may also have wondered about Jesus' mission. Remember, John and Jesus both proclaimed the same message, right? The kingdom of God is near. But John may not have fully understood how Jesus would bring in that kingdom. Remember, many people in that day, they expected when Messiah came, what was he going to do? He was going to overthrow the Roman government. He was going to free the Jewish prison. It's not that his followers would be thrown into prison. He was going to free everybody. They expected a political deliverance, not a spiritual deliverance. So John may have been a little confused on Jesus' mission here. Remember, Jesus already confused John earlier. When he came to John to be baptized, once again, John was saying, I don't understand this. Why would the Messiah be coming to be baptized by me? He didn't understand that Jesus was identifying with sinful humanity in preparation for the cross. So John has these questions for whatever reason. He sends his disciples and they ask Jesus, are you the one who was to come? Or should we expect someone else? Do you know how Jesus responds? It's very subtle. We don't notice it right away. We think he's just talking about the things that he's doing. But what Jesus is really doing is he's quoting Scripture. He's pointing John back to Scripture. He's pointing John back to Scriptures that John would have known so well. And Jesus refers in his answer to several Old Testament prophecies, which did what? They spoke about what the Messiah would do when he came. Those passages are Isaiah 35, verses 5 and 6, Isaiah chapter 61, verse 1. They're both on your outline. What did those prophecies say about Messiah? They said that when Messiah came, the blind would see, the deaf would hear, the lame would walk, the mute would speak, and good news would be preached to the poor. In other words, Jesus was doing exactly what the Scripture said the Messiah would do when he came. John was struggling with doubts. What did Jesus do? He pointed him back to God's Word. And that's a lesson for us as well. We should do the same thing whenever we struggle with doubts. Any Christian can struggle with doubts from time to time. And when we do, we need to look to God's Word to renew and restore our faith. Back to Matthew chapter 11, Jesus finishes off this section in John's imprisonment with a word of blessing and warning. Verse 6, Jesus says this, blessed is the man who does not fall away on account of me. And that word translated fall away in this verse, it's a word that literally means to trip over something and fall down. To trip over something and fall down. Jesus is saying, blessed is the person who does not trip over him and fall down in their faith because of him. So Jesus is encouraging John. He's encouraging us also to continue in our faith, even when we suffer for Christ, even if we're facing some doubts along the way. Next, Jesus talks about John's ministry. And there's some important things we can learn about being a faithful messenger from these verses also. First of all, lesson number one from John's ministry, be bold and uncompromising in your message. Matthew 11, verses 7 through 10. As John's disciples were leaving, Jesus began to speak to the crowd about John. He asked them, what did you go out into the desert to see? A reed swayed by the wind? If not, what did you go out to see? A man dressed in fine clothes? No, those who wear fine clothes are in king's palaces. So what did you go out to see? A prophet? Yes, I tell you, and more than a prophet. This is the one about whom it is written, I will send my messenger ahead of you who will prepare your way before you. And so Jesus here affirms John's ministry to the people. He reminds them why they went out to the desert to see John in the first place. Jesus says, you didn't go out to see a swaying reed. In other words, someone who is timid or fearful or swayed by pressure. That wasn't John. No, John was bold in his preaching. Jesus says, you didn't go out to see someone dressed in fancy clothes. John certainly didn't dress in fancy clothes. Jesus says, that's for people who live in the king's palaces. Now, John did not compromise with power or wealth. So Jesus said, what did you go out to see? You went out to see a prophet, didn't you? A prophet boldly proclaiming the word of God. Jesus says John was a prophet. He also says he was more than a prophet. Because John was not only a prophet, he was also the subject of prophecy himself. In other words, some of the other prophets prophesied about John. How neat is that? Jesus said, this is the one about whom it is written. He's quoting Scripture again. He's quoting from Malachi chapter 3, verse 1. This is the one about whom it is written, I will send my messenger ahead of you who will prepare your way before you. Malachi 3:1 told the Jewish people that before God came to his people, he would send a messenger before him to prepare the way. Jesus tells us here, John is that messenger. So John was not only a prophet, he was more than a prophet. He was the direct forerunner to Jesus Christ. He was the messenger who pointed him out literally. I mean, John actually pointed right at him, pointed them out to the people of Israel. John was a bold and uncompromising messenger for Christ. And he serves as an example for us that we also need to be bold and uncompromising in our message for Christ. Great example of this is in the book of Acts in the early church. The apostles are going out there. They're being faithful, right? They're preaching Christ. What do they get for it? Like John, they get thrown into prison, right? And then they're called in before the authorities. And they're commanded not to speak or teach at all in the name of Jesus. This is all in Acts chapter 4, verses 18 through 20. They're commanded, you cannot speak in the name of Jesus anymore. You're not to teach in the name of Jesus. And Peter and John replied, just these poor fishermen without any real training. They replied, judge for yourselves whether it is right in God's sight to obey you rather than God. For we cannot help speaking about what we have seen and heard. Faithful messengers, bold, uncompromising. You see, we need to arm ourselves with the same attitude as Peter and John and also John the Baptist. Be bold and uncompromising in your message. And then the second lesson we learn from John's ministry is a very simple one. It's one we've already looked at in the Sermon on the Mount. When we studied the Sermon on the Mount, seek God's kingdom first in your life. Seek God's kingdom first. Because in these next verses, Jesus goes on to talk about the importance of the kingdom. We're in verse 11 now, Matthew 11, verse 11. Jesus says, I tell you the truth. Among those born of women, there has not risen anyone greater than John the Baptist. Yet, he who is least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than he. Jesus tells us how great the kingdom is by first telling us how great John the Baptist is. How great was John the Baptist? Jesus says he was the greatest of all the Old Testament believers. Greater than Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Greater than Moses, David, or Elijah. He's already said John was a prophet and more than a prophet. All the prophets pointed forward to Christ. John was the greatest of the prophets because he came directly before Christ. But as great as John the Baptist is, the kingdom of God is greater. The kingdom is so important that Jesus says this, yeah, John's the greatest who's come so far, but even the least person in the kingdom of God is greater than he. John was the greatest yet who had come, but we today, as believers in Christ, we are even greater than John. You go, well, how could that be? Well, John the Baptist was born of a woman, but we in the kingdom have been born again of the Spirit. John pointed to Jesus who is still coming, while we point to Jesus who has already come. We live on this side of the cross in Christ's resurrection. John never saw that. We know the reality of Jesus' mission in a way that no one could fully know before Jesus went to the cross. And so Jesus says, even the very least in God's kingdom is greater than any who came before, including John, whom Jesus says was the greatest of them all. That's how great the kingdom of God is. And then Jesus goes on to talk about the advancement of the kingdom. Look at verse 12, where Jesus says, from the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of heaven has been forcefully advancing, and forceful men lay hold of it. What is Jesus saying here? Well, John the Baptist came on the scene. He faithfully proclaimed the message. The kingdom of heaven is near. Jesus came, proclaimed the same message, but then what did Jesus do? He demonstrated the reality of that message by showing the kingdom. With mission comes conflict, and there was conflict because Jesus began pushing back the powers of sickness and darkness and death. Jesus was pushing it all back through his teaching and his miracles. That's the kingdom of heaven forcefully advancing. And Jesus says, forceful men will lay hold of it. Jesus said something very similar in Luke, the Gospel of Luke, chapter 16, verse 16. There he said this, the law and the prophets were proclaimed until John. Since that time, the good news of the kingdom of God is being preached, and everyone is forcing his way into it. Everyone who becomes a believer is forcing their way into it. Not by your works, we're saved by grace. But what does he mean? There's conflict. Mission brings conflict. And when the kingdom of God is pushing against the kingdom of Satan in this world, you better believe that Satan and the world are going to push back, right? And that's what he means. The kingdom of God is forcefully advancing. Forceful men lay hold of it. There is a spiritual conflict going on in the preaching and sharing of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Now then, Jesus goes on, he says something very interesting about John, verses 13 through 15. He says, "For all the prophets and the law prophesied until John, and if you are willing to accept it, he is the Elijah who was to come. He who has ears, let him hear." Now, the book of Malachi, we already looked at Malachi 3:1. The book of Malachi spoke about the messenger who had come before Christ. We've already seen that's John the Baptist. But then in the very next chapter, Malachi chapter 4, Malachi talks about Elijah who had come before Christ. And Jesus says here, if you're willing to accept it, John is that Elijah as well. He's the messenger of Malachi chapter 3. He is the Elijah of Malachi chapter 4. Now, Jesus is not literally saying that John is the same Elijah that we read about in the Old Testament. Two different people, okay? Notice he doesn't say he is Elijah who is to come. He says he is the Elijah who is to come. John himself, when some of the priests and Levites came and asked him, they asked him outright, they said, "Are you Elijah?" John 1:21, John said, "I am not." John categorically, definitively denied that he was Elijah. So what does Jesus mean by this? He's telling us that the prophecy in Malachi about Elijah coming before Christ was meant to be interpreted spiritually. That one like Elijah would come. And that one like Elijah was none other than John the Baptist. It's interesting, in the Gospel of Luke, the first chapter, the angel Gabriel speaks to John's father about John. One of the things he says about John is this. He says, "John will go before the Lord in the spirit and power of Elijah." And so John the Baptist is not just the messenger of Malachi chapter 3, he's the Elijah of Malachi chapter 4. And here's the thing, once you understand who John is, then you'll understand who Jesus is also. John is the greatest of the Old Testament believers. Why? Because he points directly at Jesus Christ. The least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than John. Why? Because we point directly to Jesus Christ. But you see, it all goes back to Jesus, right? Because Jesus is the greatest of all. Jesus is the Messiah. He is the Savior. He is God incarnate. John came preaching the kingdom of God, preparing the way for Jesus. Jesus came preaching the kingdom of God, and he told us the kingdom of God is more important than anything in your life. Seek God's kingdom first. So those are the two lessons we learn about being a faithful messenger from John's ministry. Be bold and uncompromising in your message. Seek God's kingdom first in your life. Now we come to two more lessons, our final ones. We learn these from John's audience. The very first lesson here is a very important one when it comes to being a faithful messenger. I think when you read it, you say, yep, that's an important one. Don't take your cues from the crowd. Don't take your cues from the crowd around you. Look at Matthew 11 now, verses 16 and 17. Jesus says, "To what can I compare this generation?" He's moved on from talking about John's imprisonment and John's ministry. He's talking about John's audience now. He says, "To what can I compare this generation? They're like children sitting in the marketplaces and calling out to others, 'We played the flute for you, and you wouldn't dance. We sang a dirge, and you did not mourn.'" What's Jesus saying? John's audience had certain expectations of John and Jesus. And guess what? John and Jesus did not meet their expectations. And so Jesus says, this whole generation was like children in the marketplace just calling out tunes and expecting others to dance to their music. Whether it was happy music, dancing, or sad music, mourning. Someone once said, I can tell a lot about you by two things. What makes you laugh and what makes you cry. But you see, the faithful messenger for God does not take their cues from the crowd, but from the Lord. We don't dance to the world's music. We follow God's lead. We don't mourn for the same things the world mourns for. Rather, we care about the things God cares for. When Paul was writing his letter to the Galatians, the Galatian churches were being infiltrated by false teachers. Paul had to rebuke them strongly. And then he said this in Galatians 1:10. He said, am I now trying to win the approval of men or of God? Am I trying to please men? If I were still trying to please men, I would not be a servant of Christ. I believe for today's messenger, we can also turn that around. If I were still trying to please men, I would not be a messenger for Christ. Certainly not a faithful one. A faithful messenger for Christ doesn't try to win the approval of men. That's our first lesson we learned from John's audience. Don't take your cues from the crowd. And then the second is this. When you are a faithful messenger for Christ, you can expect criticism from the world. You can expect it. It's going to happen. Last two verses here, Matthew 11, verses 18 and 19. For John came neither eating nor drinking, and they say, he has a demon. The Son of Man came eating and drinking, and they say, well, here's a glutton and a drunkard, a friend of tax collectors and sinners. But wisdom is proved right by her actions. You know the old saying, some people you can never satisfy? Isn't that true here? That's the way it is with the world when you are a faithful messenger for Christ. No matter how lovingly you present the message, no matter how wisely you approach it, no matter how carefully you try to phrase it, you can still expect criticism. Happened to John and Jesus. John comes fasting. They go, you got a demon. Jesus comes feasting. They call him names. You know, you just can't win, right? Sometimes you just can't win. No matter what you do, the world is going to find some way to criticize your faith in Jesus Christ. So Jesus says you need to follow God's way of wisdom and not the wisdom of the world. Jesus said wisdom is proved right by her actions. The wise Christian will be a faithful messenger for Christ despite opposition. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 5 in the Sermon on the Mount, you'll remember these words. He said, blessed are you when people insult you, when they persecute you, when they falsely say all kinds of evil against you because of me. Rejoice and be glad, because great is your reward in heaven. For in the same way they persecuted the prophets who were before you. Understand this, the world will not treat you well when you are a faithful messenger for Christ. But Jesus says you are blessed when you follow him anyways. So don't take your cues from the crowd. Expect criticism from the world. John the Baptist was a faithful messenger for Christ. And we are also called to be faithful messengers. When you are a faithful messenger, guess what? You can expect conflict. You can expect opposition. When you face opposition, guess what? You may experience doubts. And that's why these lessons from John the Baptist are so important for us to learn. Be prepared to suffer for Christ. Look to God's word when you experience doubts. Be bold and uncompromising in your message. Seek God's kingdom first in your life. Take your cues from God instead of the world. And know that when you follow Jesus, you can expect criticism no matter what you do. The wisdom of the world says this, take it easy. Play it safe. Don't make waves. But Jesus said wisdom is proved right by her actions. And those who are faithful messengers for Jesus can rejoice. For great is your reward in heaven. Let us pray. Dear Lord, I thank you so much for John. We thank you for his faithfulness. Lord, we thank you for his humanness. That even John the Baptist had questions when he was suffering for you. Lord, I pray that you would help us to take these six lessons we've learned today. And Lord, we would apply them and move forward, that we would be faithful messengers for you in the coming weeks and months and years. Lord, we're going to get criticized for it. The world says you can't talk about that here. You don't talk about that stuff. There's going to be pushback. But Lord, since the days of John the Baptist, your kingdom is forcefully advancing. And so, Lord, we need to be forceful people, bold and uncompromising, and pushing your kingdom forward, sharing the good news of Jesus whenever we have the opportunity. Lord, help us to be faithful. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.